Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing Watson X Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with Watson X Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. Hour two, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. Nick Wright's going to join us in 5 minutes. I already told you how I felt about LeBron James, is that he's coming back. He's still a top six or seven player in the league. They've got to get a third guy. I don't want to keep blaming Darvin Ham. Eric Spoelstra's getting run out of the building. By the way, Milwaukee fired Mike Budenholzer. He was a bum, too. You know, you can keep firing coaches, but Frank Vogel, he was going to solve everything. Now they want to run him out of town. It's the NBA's history. You got to always blame the coach. The Lakers outplayed Denver for big chunks of the series, and they don't have nearly as many top-end players as Denver. I think Darvin Ham is fine. Don't always love his substitution patterns, but a lot of that is you never know night to night what you're getting from Rui and D'Lo. So if you don't know what you're getting, Malone knows every night what he gets from Jokic, Murray, Aaron Gordon, KCP, and Porter. It's much easier. I mean, think about it like a family. If I kind of knew and I had consistent kids, it'd be easier to be a parent than if I had, you know, my son's knocking down bags of Skittle, he's climbing on the walls, and my, you know, my daughter doesn't like school. It's like it's easier to be guiding people, be a boss, be a coach when I have consistent performers. And outside of LeBron, nobody's consistent. I love AD. But offensively, you don't quite know what you're getting. D'Lo, Rui, it's very hard to coach inconsistency. That's what Nick Saban always preached. You got to give me, even if you have a ceiling, I got to know what I'm getting. I used to cover Rasheed Wallace, a terrific player. You didn't know night to night what you were getting. When Sheed was on one, he would go toe-to-toe with Duncan. Go ask Tim Duncan. He hated playing Sheed. Kevin Garnett hated playing Sheed. But then if he wasn't playing those two, he could disappear. And so I think Darvin Ham's got a tough job. LeBron, you get the same thing every night. AD, you get the same defense every night. Rui, D'Lo, Reeves, you don't know what you're getting. The Laker bench is hot and cold. Then you throw in injuries all year. You never quite know what you're getting with the Lakers. That is a hard team to coach. Do you think Boston has a great coach? Because he's running all over Spoelstra. No, but I know what I get from Tatum and Brown and Derek White, and if Porzingis is healthy, I know what I'm getting every night with those guys. Drew Holiday, I know exactly what. It's much easier for me. I know what I'm getting from you. Couple references to your little shaggy JV team. What? I get hockey scores from Ryan. Dave books a couple of good guests, and I'll knock out a rant or two. Every day I come in, it's the same basic show. That's much easier than if I had, you know, you were out coming in with a hangover, guy here in back was working one day a week. This makes it an easy show for me.
I did turn to the bottle after the Lakers lost my first drink post-Nashville. I'm not kidding. I needed a sip of alcohol after that. Remember Nashville I went to? Hadn't had a drink since I came back because it was a boozy weekend. And last night I just felt for the Lakers and I had a little drink afterward.
Okay. Well, I don't think anybody needed to know that, your personal issues. But all right, Nick Wright's around the corner. Here we go. This is my herd hierarchy. Okay, this is it right here. I got to like one or two more, but now we got the draft, the free agency, the coaches. Here we go.
Herd hierarchy. Hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams, according to Colin. Number 10.
I'm going to put the Chargers in there. Listen, Herbert and Jim Harbaugh are great, but they lost a lot of offense. Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Gerald Everett. They lost, like, productive veteran dudes. Now, I like the kid they got out of Georgia, Joe Alt, good picks. They got Hayden Hurst. They went and got, Gus Edwards. They did get some replacements, but I don't think they're going to be quite as lethal offensively, but I love the coach. I love the quarterback. I love their tackles. Rashawn Slater, Joe Alt, I have him at 10.
Number 9.
I may have him under. I'm going to take Houston 9. I may be wrong. They may be higher than this. I just love the way they're run. I like their draft. I like their free agent signing. Stephon Diggs, Danielle Hunter, Joe Mixon. The last 2 years in personnel, they've done as well as anybody in this league. I love what they're doing. Everything about it. I like the way they're coached, their quarterback, their front office. I like everything they're doing. I'll put them at 8 or 9, the Houston Texans.
Number 8.
Philadelphia. Listen, offensively, it's stacked. With or without Kelsey, it's stacked. Receivers, tight end, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts. They have new coordinators, so I just want to watch it. A couple years ago, I loved their coordinators. Last year, I didn't like their coordinators. Let's see where we land this year. Mitchell, the corner from Toledo, hopefully solves their secondary, which was a mess, but he alone can't solve them. I have him at 8.
Number 7.
Listen, you can sell all your Buffalo Bills stock, but their O-line and run game finally arrived last year. I'm not having Josh Allen out of my top 10. The other thing about the Bills, I follow college football. I thought they had another excellent draft. And to Stephon Diggs, oh, they lost Gabe Davis. You never knew what you were getting with Gabe Davis. And they went out and drafted Keon Coleman. And if we're going to give Kansas City credit for their star receiver in the draft, why can't I give Buffalo credit for theirs? I have the Bills still hovering around the Super Bowl bubble at 7.
Number 6.
The Niners, they get Hufanga back at safety, and they did address some secondary stuff. They had 9 Pro Bowlers. They all return from last year. And they went and drafted 2 receivers, Ricky Pearsall. Probably they're going to move off Deebo Samuel. I said this. I felt last year they peaked. I thought that was the best of them. They've got older players. They are relying to carry the load. Physical players, Deebo, McCaffrey, Kittle, Trent Williams. They were mostly healthy last year. They got the Ayuk noise. I think they peaked last year, but I have the Niners at 6.
Number 5.
I love the Packers. I don't think they quite have the roster of Detroit, but I love them. Josh Jacobs, maybe the first or second best running back in the league. They allowed the 3rd fewest sacks in the league, and this team drafts as well as anybody. Forget just the quarterbacks. They draft as well as anybody. Jordan Morgan's a stud at left tackle. I watched him at Arizona. Stud. Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker. Excellent. Javon Bullard, the safety. Marshawn Lloyd, the USC running back. First 4 picks. I thought the Packers and the Buccaneers had the best first 4 picks. I have the Packers at 5.
Number 4.
The Rams. I bought them last year. I thought they had an unbelievable first 4 picks. 4 guys who will start. Corum won't start behind Kyron Williams, but he'll play a ton. All my executive buddies in this league, scouts, thought the Rams crushed it. And they crushed last year's draft. They lost Aaron Donald, but they went and literally got the 2 players they targeted. Jared Verse is the guy along with Brock Bowers in the first round. Those are the 2 guys they wanted. And I think this team, if Matt Stafford is healthy, I think they're going to be excellent.
Number 3.
The Lions. I think it's a stacked roster. I think they're the Niners, but with younger players. I think they're the Niners with a more talented quarterback. They were number 3 in total offense, number 2 in passing offense. They can play from behind. They can play with a lead. They got the conference championship first time since 91. They added Marcus Davenport off the edge. Carlton Davis, I've always liked him in Tampa, the corner. And then they went out and got Terrion Arnold, another corner. So their big issue last year was like Philadelphia a lot. It's like bad at corner, getting torched. They addressed both. They improved their pass rush. I like them.
Number two.
Ravens. They were the best team for most of the regular season. Why don't I like them? They went and got Derrick Henry. They lose Gus Edwards and Dobbins, but they get Derrick Henry. Listen, they had a disappointing postseason. They rolled teams last year. They rolled teams like Miami. They rolled teams in the regular season. So there's no reason I'm not going to like them. Lamar's in his prime. The coaching staff is great. I had an NFL GM tell me this weekend that he thinks Baltimore's the best run team along with Kansas City and the Rams in the NFL. Baltimore at two.
Number one.
Kansas City, until somebody knocks them off. Travis Kelce, Chris Jones signed extensions. Xavier Worthy, I don't know how good he'll be. He worries me, his size, track guy, but if anybody's going to make it work, it'll be Kansas City. They added Hollywood Brown, so I think they go into the season. Rashee Rice, cross your fingers on that, but if he returns, I think their receiving core will be much more worthy of a claim than it was this last year. And listen, last year was the year to beat them. If you couldn't beat them last year with that offense, they're going to be better this year. And so there's my herd hierarchy. I don't think any surprises. I have Cincinnati at number 11, just out of respect for Joe Burrow, but I got to see it. And there's a lot of noise around Cincinnati. What I don't love, T. Higgins, the edge guy. So I don't know exactly what I'm getting. I do think I may have Houston a little bit low, J-Mac. I also think Indianapolis and Jacksonville are close. What say you?
The Rams are plus 3,500 to win the Super Bowl, far behind the Jets, Falcons, Dolphins, and yes, Chicago Bears. The L.A. Rams do not belong in your top 10. I'll accept the oversight.
McVay, Stafford, Kupp, Puka.
Ooh.
Do you see what they did with the offensive line? Ooh, smoking. Nick, right now, joining us live. I got to tell you something. I was this close to doing Baltimore 1, Kansas City 2.
Yeah, well, I know you wanted to. I that doesn't surprise me at all. But this is... this is the, you know, graphical version of you bending the knee. You finally admitting that the Chiefs, for here, time immemorial, need to stay at number one. I agree with your smoke on the Rams. I disagree with J-Mac and with Vegas. I think the Rams are, you know, a couple plays go different in that wild card game. It wouldn't have shocked me if the Rams ended up in the Super Bowl. So that Los Angeles team, I understand. But I must admit, Colin, to you and to the audience, for a long time, I thought, and I never told you this, I was like, Colin must be buddies with someone with the Chargers because he loves them and he overrates them and all this stuff. But then they fired everybody and you still love them and overrate them. Everyone else on that list was good last year. They won 5 games, got rid of both of their receivers, and you're like top 10. That I don't understand. Maybe it's the sea air. Maybe they have practice facilities by your palatial estate. I don't know. I really like the herd hierarchy. Number 10 doesn't make sense to me. I got to tell you.
Yeah, probably. I am having dinner with the Spanoses in 2 weeks, so maybe that's it.
See, okay, there you go. All right, so maybe that's what it is. I got to figure something's going on with Colin and the Chargers. I'm not trying to air you out, but it doesn't make sense. They won 5 games. That Quentin Johnson's their number one receiver. It's a problem.
All right, that's a good point. All right, so I was saying this. I was saying, listen, Denver's really good. And why Denver beats the Lakers is because none of their best 4 players, I would count KCP, as maybe their 5th, you know what you're getting with their player. None of them have disappearing games. Rui disappears. D'Lo disappears. Even AD, I love him. His second half offense can disappear because he plays so hard defensively against bigger bodies. LeBron's the most consistent Laker. I almost know exactly what I'm getting. AD 2nd, and his offense dries up late, again, fairly regularly.
Sure.
Yet this morning, it's Darvin Ham. And my take is, they outplayed Denver, and they're not close in the starting 5, and depth is overrated in the playoffs. Aren't we being, isn't this another point fingers at a LeBron coach argument?
Okay, well, so, all right, so let's dissect this. Because it's like, oh, point fingers at a LeBron coach. Well, what are the coaches that LeBron has pointed fingers at? David Blatt, They went to the finals. They had the best record in the East. Oh, my God, what does LeBron want? Well, he got fired and hasn't been back stateside since. So I think the NBA world didn't think he was doing a great job. Frank Vogel, oh, you won a title. What more do you want from Frank Vogel? Frank Vogel, who got fired by the Magic, fired by the Lakers, and here in the next, I would imagine, 48 hours might be fired by the Suns. And then there's Darvin Ham, who objectively, Colin, did a poor job. Now, your point that the Nuggets are better, if I am power ranking blame, before I would put Darvin Ham, I would certainly put the front office, who just stood pat, didn't make even a move in the margins. People laughed at me at the trade deadline when I was frustrated because I wasn't asking the Lakers to make a major move. But you look at a move that Dallas made that I talked about at the time, adding Daniel Gafford, yeah, a backup center who gives them 20 good minutes a night. People are like, oh, is that going to make the difference? Well, I don't know. They just lost game 2 and game 5 on buzzer beaters where they had to play Jackson Hayes real minutes in the playoffs. So maybe it would have. And I think the problem people have with Darvin Ham is the lack of accountability. When he says, well, what do you want me to do when we don't have guys available and we have all these injuries? All four of your best players played 71, 76, 76, and 82 games this year. It was not, the deep rotation was riddled with injuries. That is true. But the Lakers got a healthier season than you could have expected out of LeBron, the healthiest season of Anthony Davis's career, yet they were the 7th seed because they started 24 and 25, which had to do with roster construction and the wrong starting lineup. And then in this series, Michael Malone says, well, we have adjustments to make, but we just don't have to make them. Every game of the series, the Lakers lead at halftime, and then once adjustments happen, they lose the third quarter. The Nuggets were the better team. The Nuggets were the rightful winner. But I don't think it's unfair to say that the Lakers were let down by coaching and by the roster construction. I think that part is true, even if this wasn't a championship-level team.
So it's very rare when you go into a playoff series, you could probably count them on one hand, where one team has two stars, one team has one, and the team with one is really controlling the series. So either Maxey and Embiid are overrated or Brunson's underrated, but every game that's close in that series, I, with utter confidence, felt Denver would beat the Lakers and the Knicks will beat the Sixers. I feel like the Knicks are going to win all these close games. Is it coaching? Is it Embiid? Embiid's fascinating. He can't win a second-round playoff series in the East. I don't think there's a big guy that plays small more often than him. He's a non-factor on the boards late in games. What are we to make of Philadelphia of the process? Embiid, Simmons, Harden. Can we just blow it up and start over? It's not working.
So it's so tough because every postseason with Embiid, there has been a significant drop off, but there also has been an injury related explanation. Well, I mean, twice he's had his orbital bone fractured. He's obviously dealt with a knee. This year he's dealing with a knee and Bell's palsy, of all things. So you don't want to put it all the way on him the way you would James Harden, you know, who has had a lot of postseason legit meltdowns, not injury related. I was at that game in Philly on Sunday. And Embiid was clearly worn out by the end, but that is a little bit of a devil's bargain in this regard, Colin. He was worn out because he didn't sit a single minute in the second half. He didn't sit a single minute in the second half because when he sat for 2 minutes in the second quarter, a 10-point lead became a 3-point lead. They can't sustain without him. And so I think Embiid's playoff resume is fair to pick at. Listen, every MVP in league history, except for Joel Embiid, has at least been to a conference finals, and only two, Steve Nash, Derrick Rose, along with Embiid, haven't been to an NBA final. So that part's fair. The other side of it is this. What Jalen Brunson's doing is remarkable. It combined 85 points, 20 assists in back-to-back playoff games.
Yeah.
Had never been done in NBA history by anyone. This guy's 6 feet nothing and just did it. And having a 47-10 in a game where your team scores 97, it is remarkable. And I will be the first to admit, I liked him coming out of Dallas. I thought it was a smart signing by the Knicks, but I thought he was the third best player on a champion, the second best player on a good team, and the best player on a bad team. Instead, he's the best player on a team that might show up in the conference finals or further. It is unbelievable what he's doing, and I certainly didn't see it coming.
So maybe I was too hard on KD, but I said, you know, the NBA is a players' league like international soccer. NFL is about the shield, the owner, the GM, the coach has great power. If Mahomes would say at any point, I'm leaving the Chiefs to play for the Jets because I really like this slot receiver, we would go, you're out of your mind. KD left the best run franchise and the best team in the last 20 years, arguably, to go to Brooklyn. And we said, well, you know, he's an artist. And since he left them, that was a mess. Phoenix is a mess. And I'm sorry, Nick, it affects how I look at KD. It would affect if Mahomes went to the Jets. Yeah. I would be like, yeah, he's got great talent, but he's a little kooky. What is KD's legacy today?
Okay. All right, so this is a layered question. First, a lot of what you said is fair, but the front end, I just have to disagree with you on in this regard. We can't compare KD leaving the Warriors to Mahomes leaving the Chiefs unless we were in a context where for 3 years, the vast majority of football media, anytime Mahomes' name came up, they said, fake rings, fraud, ring, those don't count. Those don't count. We don't like it. Yeah, you ruined the league. I mean, so we can't, and I know you weren't one of the people killing him for going to Golden State, but the majority of the media was. And so what KD heard was, anything I do here doesn't count. So I guess I have to leave. So to me, I don't blame him for leaving Golden State. Now, he obviously has made some poor choices in who he teams up with in Kyrie and Brooklyn, even though Kyrie's working now with Luka. And then in going to Phoenix, even though I would think KD, the basketball mind, would understand that roster might not work. Those have been some poor choices. And now to get to your question, of course the legacy is impacted. If the fact that Kevin Durant, and this is an unbelievable stat, Kevin Durant, since 2018, since June of 2018, in the last 6 years, has played 11 minutes of playoff basketball after round two is insane. The fact that Kevin Durant, since the foot on the line game, has won 5 total playoff games is insane and unfathomable. The fact that Kevin Durant is going to go through this half decade of his career not seeing a conference finals when the first decade of his career he lived in the conference and NBA finals is bizarre. And when you put pen to paper, I did this the other day, if you are talking all of NBA history, Kevin Durant is far closer to 20 than to 10,
yes,
which 5 years ago would have been unfathomable.
Right.
It would have been unfathomable that Kevin Durant was going to be a fringe top 20 all-time guy when it looked like he was going to be a fringe or inside the top 10. That did happen, and it's a damn shame as a basketball fan.
Okay, so LeBron talked about his future. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's fantastic. I think he fits with AD. I think his business is here. But here's LeBron last night talking about his future with the Lakers. Here we go.
Any thought at all that, you know, this could have been your last game with the Lakers?
I'm not going to answer that.
LeBron is always strategic. So the idea is not sure. He's sure. What'd you make of it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think he wants to exert leverage where he can. He has been kinder and gentler to the Lakers from a leverage standpoint than he ever was.
Yeah.
His second stint in Cleveland.
Yes.
In Cleveland, it was one-year deals and one-year deals, and you better move, you better move. The Lakers, he has given them real security, and I think he feels they haven't rewarded that as of, you know, the deadline this time as an example. And by the way, I can hear people yelling at their TVs across the country, oh, my God, He made him trade for Westbrook. What more does he want? This idea that LeBron James had the power to force Rob Pelinka's hand to make a franchise-altering trade, but didn't have the power to get Ty Lue hired when he wanted him, didn't have the power to get anything done at this deadline, didn't have the power to get them to trade for Kyrie last year. Like, yes, he wanted Russ on the team, but yes, Pelinka's had plenty of instances where he told him no on other things. I think there are certain things LeBron wants. I, as a basketball fan, would love to see him have one final arc somewhere else. I think LeBron James bringing the New York Knicks to the NBA Woo! Finals for the first time in a quarter century Woo! Would be pretty great. I think he would fit, you know, in that Julius Randle spot quite well. Wow. I also think four rings for four franchises would be unbelievable. All of that is doable. I don't think it's realistic. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, you know, Philly has a max salary cap spot. I think that makes sense. Cleveland is going to hit their head on a round two ceiling again. I think that would make sense. They need a power forward. I don't think he's going to do any of that. I think he's going to sit back and see what they do this summer, see who their next coach is, see them draft Bronny at 55 and then sign a 3-year max contract with a no trade clause. That's what I think he's going to do. But for my sleep schedule and my ability to watch LeBron James in person, just come out east, man. I mean, the water's not warm, but it's nice. Like, come out east, win a title with the Knicks. And by the way, get all those Knicks fans that never liked Jordan to begin with on your side in the GOAT debate. That's like an electoral college thing. It's like flipping Texas. All of a sudden, the math is different forever. So it's just a thought. Just a thought.
That's actually funny. What's interesting about Jalen Brunson, who I think is just wonderful, but, you know, when he played with Luka, it's like, hello, I'm good here. Would he? And I think he's a great kid. But would he want LeBron, who needs the ball in his hands? If I was Jalen Brunson, and he's a team guy, but he gets to control that whole offense, you don't with LeBron.
Again, at year 22, age 40, LeBron, maybe you could. The problem, probably the biggest problem with my LeBron to the Knicks pipe dream isn't about his family or his businesses or any of that. It probably has to do with the fact that Tom Thibodeau would be like, Bron, it's February 8th. You got 46 minutes in you, buddy? I think I'm going to need you. I think I'm going to need you to go the whole game tonight. It's probably not the best idea.
You had a 2-hour practice in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
On and off day.
Not great.
Good seeing you. First things first after our show. Thanks, buddy.
See ya.
It's actually interesting. I mean, I love Jalen Brunson. Everybody loves Jalen Brunson. But it's like he was in Dallas and he couldn't have the ball in his hands. And the minute he gets the ball in his hands, he rocks New York and he rocks the league. I could see him saying, hey, LeBron's not an off ball guy. LeBron's a give me the ball guy. So that doesn't fit, but it would be glorious for the league.
Did you see when AD went to one arm last night? LeBron basically took every shot for a 5-minute stretch. He's like, I got this. We're not going to lose. But Kevin Durant makes way more sense next to Brunson than LeBron does. Kevin Durant.
Oh, no. His game.
Perfect.
Yeah, no, his game worked. He just, you can give KD the ball late in the shot clock, and he's probably better than anybody in the league late in the shot clock getting a quality shot and hitting it. That's really, because what the Suns don't have is a Brunson. They don't have a quarterback. They got wing guys. So you would get the classic traditional point guard who can also score.
And then Durant doesn't have to lead in the huddle because we know he doesn't like to do. He's on record saying, I just want to
That's actually the move. That KD to – that's
you
the
give
move.
Up Randall.
And also KD's getting beat up because of Brooklyn and Phoenix. And he's – I mean, KD listens to this stuff. He's getting crushed. Wouldn't it be great if he goes to New York for 4 years, ends his career?
Go east where it's easier. Now, the question is the trade package. Do you break up the Villanova Knicks? Because I'm telling you, Josh Hart, it's tough to part with a guy who gets like 17 rebounds at 6'5".
No, he's a...
DiVincenzo comes up big all the time.
I'd move him,
Randall, Bogdanovich, Mitchell Robinson,
Suns need is a point guard, and the Knicks aren't giving them
one. No.
So the Knicks
Suns
don't
need toughness.
Have, well, they need soft. A point guard.
Timberwolves had a layup line.
Well,
in
Julius
series.
Randle would give you the toughness.
There you go.
But you got to get a point guard. That team needs somebody.
Well, Booker averaged like 7 assists a game, 6.5, 7.
He's not a point guard.
I know. He's not. Tough.
When your business reaches a certain scale, challenges surface. Learn more. Download netsuite.com/herd. Tailored solutions. They have a KPI checklist. Absolutely free.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
We're this close to crowning an NBA champ, and the action's heating up on the court. It's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code HERD, code H-E-R-D, HERD, for new customers to get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500 if your first bet doesn't hit. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer issued is one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNG.co/bball for eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The draft is over, obviously. A lot of people watch the draft. 5 of the 10 schools with the most draft picks, J-Mac, Big Ten. So Pac-10 teams or Big Ten teams, 5 of 10. So college football talent and college football consolidation, that draft was the pivot to it. So the Pac-12's disbanded. The ACC's been wobbly and shaky with bad TV ratings for years. And the Big 12's unremarkable small rural markets. College football now is changing. This year you're going to have a 12-team playoff. It was just the most watched college football season ever. And if you start looking at who was drafted, think about this. People don't realize this around the country, that Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, they only got $30 million a year from the Pac-12. That was their annual payout. Those schools now are going to get closer to, I mean, like USC is going to get into the $70 to $80 million with a chance for it to grow 25% over the next 5 years. So college football is going to become the SEC and the Big Ten in a 12-team playoff. They'll get 8 of the teams. And Pac-12's done. The Big 12's unremarkable. The ACC's been wobbly for years. Wouldn't be shocked if Florida State jettisons the ACC. Maybe Clemson does too and goes to the SEC. But, you know, a lot of people cling to history. I get it. You love the Sun Bowl. You love the Holiday Bowl. I get it. I get it. People love collecting adult men collect baseball cards. I get it. It's not me, but I get it. But college football, here's what happens in the world. Big eats small, scale eats boutique. And it's over. The whole sport is going to change, and the draft was your first sign. All these Pac-12 schools are going to double or triple their revenue annually. USC has been held back by its conference for 10 years. They can't compete in the NIT or the NIL. They can't compete with a Georgia or an Ohio State. So all that is changing. The draft was dominated not by the SEC schools like usual. It was dominated by the Big Ten going forward, 5 of 10. Michigan, Washington, Oregon, Penn State, USC. My guess is eventually Notre Dame will move into the Big Ten and Florida State will move into the SEC. That's kind of, not that I know, I'm not some TV executive, but it would not shock me in 5 years if Notre Dame, they academically fit the Big Ten's a high achieving academic conference, and Florida State is a football power, and the ACC's falling apart. I mean, the ACC couldn't get Florida State into the the college football playoff. They shouldn't have gone anyway, in my opinion, but they couldn't get them in. They couldn't use that power play. So there's your future right there, J-Mac. I'm here for it. Executives are predicting the Big Ten ratings will be up this year 15% off the most watched college football season ever. So you can complain about consolidation, but it's going to work. Go look at the Big Ten schedules and the SEC schedules this upcoming season. It's going to be better. It's going to be better than a lot of Sundays. I'm not joking. Saturday is going to beat some Sundays. You know, you have those NFL Sundays where it's like there's some bad quarterbacks playing. Saturdays will be better than Sundays 30% of the time. Some of these weekends are insane. Sorry, I was a Pac-12 guy. I'm over it.
Yeah, that's a bold statement. Saturdays are going to beat Sundays?
No, I'm not saying it. I'm not saying a majority. I still think the NFL is a superior product. But we've always sat around in college football and said a great college football game is as good as an NFL game in most cases. We had a scarcity of great college football games. Now you don't. I mean, there's going to be Saturdays in college football where Oregon faces Ohio State, Michigan faces Washington, Penn State faces USC, back-to-back, Texas faces Bama, Oklahoma faces, LSU.
More big games.
Yeah, that's what this consolidation's doing. More marquee games. Think of it as a movie studio. We got the Avengers times five. So we're just getting more big stars, marquee games.
So do we have to work 7-day week sticks in the fall? Is that what's happening?
No, one of us doesn't take Saturdays off.
I don't take Saturdays off. I mean, I could still coach my daughter's soccer team.
What matters more, parenting or Saturday watching college football?
Great question.
You got to get your priorities in order. Give the kids a bag of Skittles and get to a TV.
Skittles,
set.
That's second Skittles reference today. What do you have against Starburst?
Not bad either. Think identity theft won't happen to you. Think again. New victim every 3 seconds. Over 15 million this year alone. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you could miss. Go to LifeLock.com. Code HERD, H-E-R-D.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Tom Verducci from Fox Sports, MLB Network, and Sports Illustrated.
And I'm Joe Madden, and we're going to be around to talk a little bit about managerial decisions and what may have occurred in the dugout, maybe in the 1980s.
It's the Book of Joe podcast. I can't wait for this, Joe. We're going to dive into what goes on in the dugout and behind the scenes in Major League Baseball.
Cars, wine, whatever else we want to talk about.
Yeah, well, there are no boundaries, right? Listen to the Book of Joe podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're this close to crowning an NBA champ, and the action's heating up on the court. It's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings? Listen up. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code HERD, code H-E-R-D, HERD, for new customers to get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500 if your first bet doesn't hit. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21-plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer issued is one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNG.co/bball for eligibility, wagering, and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Pete Alonso and Francisco Lindor power the Mets against the Rays, or Julio Rodriguez and the Mariners take on the Astros. It all begins at 7 Eastern on Fox. Check for the game in your area.
All right, J-Mac, without further ado, with the news.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Remind me, I have a take on your face of the NBA thing and NFL.
Go ahead. Earlier.
We'll talk about that final hour. All save right. it. I got some good stuff here. As there are now reports emerging, shocker, that Darvin Ham's future in L.A. is not good. And the latest, according to The Athletic, says Ham is highly likely to be fired.
Let's blame the coach.
As all this is happening, Magic Johnson, one of the, you know, great all-time Lakers, has chimed in on Twitter. You probably don't follow Magic. He usually is extremely vanilla and boring and lame, but says that load management cost the Lakers seeding, and the Lakers couldn't beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series because Denver is mentally and physically tougher.
Well, they're physically better. I don't know if they're tougher, but again, Michael Porter's your third or fourth best player. He would be the second most reliable offensive player for the Lakers. So
taking shots at the Lakers' mental toughness is very out of character for Magic Johnson. You wonder, is he doing some bidding here for Jeannie Buss to get the trade rolling that Darvin Ham has done?
It said Darvin Ham won't be fired. Now I'm told it's highly likely.
It seems like he's toast. The only question is, like, who is this? This is a tough way to phrase this. Is the Lakers' job with LeBron next year an attractive one?
Well, if you're unemployed, it is. If you have a great, you know, Doc Rivers would take it. But I mean, you know, I mean, like in his situation in Milwaukee or the Lakers, I'd take it. Or if I'm Frank Vogel, I'd take it. But I mean, like Billy Donovan, to me, over the last 20 years, dynasty in college, the fact that he gets Chicago to a play-in game with a bunch of B and C guys, I think he's a great coach. If I was Billy Donovan, I'm not sure if he wants to come out west. But again, what are you getting for a candidate? What am I getting for a candidate out here? The Lakers, again, do not... Steve Ballmer's the rich owner in L.A. The rich owners in L.A. are Stan Kroenke and Steve Ballmer and the Dodgers owners. It's not the Lakers owners. They're not going to pay a lot of money.
Jeannie Buss is going to be paying multiple coaches at the same time.
And then she is the poorest owner in the league. You think she wants to pay, you know, this dead cap coach money with the NFL owners talk about?
It's weird. If you, and again, this is not to denigrate LeBron teams, but if you are on a LeBron team and you're the number three guy, you're going to catch heat. You're going to catch blame. And you're the coach, you're going to catch some blame. That's what happens when you play with LeBron.
Chris Bosh and Spo even got heat in Miami. The coach,
Kevin Love in
guy.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
I mean, a ton of coaches in Cleveland. Like, this is just, it's part of the game. But you're also highly visible. You're in the most national TV games. Like, it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Next up, let's talk about the OKC Thunder, who you keep trying to wedge into the national conversation. Here's your boy Chet Holmgren. And great defense from Lu Dort and SGA. Listen, this OKC team is good. They sweep the Pelicans last night and surpassed the 2011 Thunder. That was the Harden, KD, Russ team as the youngest team in NBA history to win a playoff series. They now await the Clippers and Mavs winner. Colin, here's a crazy stat. OKC got 99.5% of their points from players who were 25 years or younger.
Yeah. You guys all sold me on Sacramento last year, and I don't buy them. This team I buy. I don't buy De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis.
You don't buy De'Aaron Fox.
No, I mean, you guys keep selling me on Light the Beam, and I don't buy Sacramento. I think they're a less talented version of Boston. This team I buy going forward. I think Holmgren and SGA are tremendous, unique players.
Okay. NBA Finals appearances for the Thunder next 5 years, over, under 1.5.
Over.
Over 1.5 in the next five.
They got draft picks galore. They're going to move those and get a veteran star.
And to disrupt the chemistry of all the young guys?
Let me ask you. Booker on the wing?
Oh, stop it. They're not getting Booker. No chance.
LeBron loves Oklahoma City in the spring.
I don't even know how to react to that. They got
two stars, a ton of picks, and great role players.
The Mavs will beat them, wipe the floor with them, and you will be
The Mavs are a lopsided franchise.
With a lot of ego. I don't see ego in Oklahoma City. I see grinders.
Okay, you got OKC in the conference finals, don't you?
I think they're really good. I came into the playoffs. I said, I have no idea. I don't think they're ready yet. I'm watching them play. They're ready.
You're aware the Pelicans did not have Zion Williamson, correct?
Well, they don't have him all the time. Can't make that as an excuse.
Final story is going to make our resident Bengals fan here very upset. So T. Higgins continues to seek a long-term deal or a trade.
Noisy.
He's conceded he's going to probably play on the franchise tag, but he's unhappy. According to the Cincinnati Inquirer, the Bengals' offers to Higgins never approached the $20 million per year range, and that the offer wasn't even close enough to get Higgins reps to discuss guaranteed money. They haven't negotiated in more than a year. Listen, this is a notoriously cheap franchise.
Oh, yeah.
T. Higgins is one of the best number two receivers in the league, maybe the best. When Chase went down, look at Higgins' numbers. He carried them. Colin, this is bad business for the Bengals to be doing this. Lowballing at $20 million per year? I don't like it.
Hey, it's good to be in the business where lowballing is $20 million a year. It's a pretty good salary for a number two receiver.
And then Higgins will be gone next year, and he'll be number one or number two somewhere.
Well, he's more of a two than a one, and I think you can draft a receiver and be fine. I don't have a problem. Ja'Marr Chase, edge rusher, offensive coach, Joe Burrow. I don't have a problem with Cincinnati. I like T. Higgins, but they moved off Joe Mixon. I thought he was a great back. They moved off him. I'm good with it. I'm okay moving off T. Higgins. I have a hard time paying two-star receivers. I'll pay Cooper Kupp, but in 2 years, I got to pay Puka Nacua, then I can't pay Cooper Kupp. There's too many receivers in college. There are positions I know I get trapped. Quarterback, left tackle, edge rusher. You get about, two or three or four a draft, you're like, wow. Receiver, I get 13, 18. This year, the second round and third round receivers this year, somebody got one. Yeah, Chargers, was it Chargers got one in the fourth? Cowing the Arizona kid. Who got him in the...
Oh, I like that guy.
Yeah,
I think we talked about Arizona a bunch this year. They got some guys, and that receiver's good. How about this? T. Higgins plays on the franchise tag. Next year, Jets move off Aaron Rodgers. They got a rookie quarterback. They're on the cheap. They can afford T. Higgins. T. Higgins to the Jets with Garrett Wilson next year.
How about, my bad, I forget where Cowing going. Brendan Rice is seventh round pick for the Chargers at wide receiver. If you can get Brendan Rice, Jerry's kid in the seventh round, I don't know how good he's going to be. He's going to make a roster. You're not getting a quarterback or a left tackle in the seventh round that can play Brendan Rice football.
It's Brock Purdy, but yes, you're right.
49ers got Cowing in the fourth round.
49ers, how many receivers did they draft?
Pearsall early and then Cowing. So, I'm just saying, is last year Puka Nacua in the fifth round star?
Okay,
Cooper Kupp, third round star. Tank Dell, fourth round star.
We keep saying that. How many other guys besides Puka, wide receivers in the fifth?
St. Brown, star, fourth round. There are receivers everywhere. I'm not paying T. Higgins 20 large.
Okay, you'll lose him and the Bengals will go back to mediocrity, which is
you know who's going to pay for
20
him?
20 years.
Kansas City. Buffalo. Interesting. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
No, there are some things I am willing to pay for. And there are just some things I've always said this about a grill. You go to Home Depot for a grill. There's like 7,000 brands. I'm not paying a fortune for a grill. I'll look around. I mean, I like grilling. I'm in California. I can do it almost every night of the year. But there's so many grills, and I don't need all the tricks and the gadgets. Like, yeah, I'm not going to pay a fortune for a grill. All right? And I'm not a guy that pays a fortune for a car. I would pay a fortune for a great vacation because our family rarely can sync up their schedules to get 10 days off together. So I'll pay a fortune for a schedule. I'll pay the most I have to pay for a left tackle, a quarterback, and an edge rusher. Receiver? Star receivers don't have a lot of Super Bowls. Hour three next.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.